Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello and welcome to Triple Captain.
Hundreds of thousands took Salah out. The Egyptian king scored 2. David Luiz is worth a shout, his defending hard to chew. Harry Kane drew a blank, Rashford missed a pen. Ashley Barnes keeps banging in goals, Pookie scored again. Kun Aguero back amongst the halls, Haller is off the mark. Background Ben is in the top 1K, Everton really need a spark. Welcome to Triple Captain!
Well, that was just very rude, in all honesty.
Sorry to cut you off with my... rhyme.
Yeah, Oscar Wilde on the podcast this week. Nice to have a poet in.
Every week, the poems are going to get better.
Yeah, okay, they're going to get better.
I feel like that was a little bit of a passive-aggressive...
No, I appreciate them, because then I don't have to do that sort of thing, and I don't have the skill to do that sort of thing, so well done. I like it. Keep doing it, please.
He's won it round. Thanks, Rich. So how you doing, Rich? What's been going on?
Yeah, mate, all good. Just sitting back, watching the football, enjoying this ridiculous heatwave. Yeah, what about you?
I'm in Liverpool, so there's no heatwave. But just got back from Edinburgh, so I've caught up after lots of theatre. I've caught up on all the football and ready for game week 4. How did you do? How many points did you get?
So I was kind of concerned, especially at the end of the last podcast when I said, I reckon 4 of my 5 defenders this week are going to get clean sheets. And none of them got clean sheets. So that was a great prediction. Thankfully, Salah saved it for me. I captained him, stuck with him, had him captain all season, which meant he got 30 of my 56 points this week. So he's really saved me there. The back 5, collectively, they only got me 9 points, if you don't include Edison. So, yeah, didn't really deliver there. And other than that, Aubameyang got 5. I don't know how he got that. I don't know if he got an assist. And then De Bruyne getting an assist as well. So, yeah, not really a high scoring week for me, I'm afraid. 56 in total. But I've gone up in my overall rank, which is the main thing. And again, I'm ahead of the average points. So, better than most, which is probably my review for the week.
What's your overall rank?
I have jumped up a few hundred thousand to 422,737.
Nice.
So, doing okay.
And that's total points of...
184.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very tight still. You know, a matter of points, small amount of points separates, you know, a few hundred thousand places. So,
it's crazy.
And you're into the top 500K, which is great after 3 weeks. And I think anybody that is worrying about their rank shouldn't worry too much just yet because, as I say, it's very close. I got 61.
Good going.
So close to 65 with Pope, who was on for a clean sheet. But obviously, Jimenez got that last-minute penalty, which was a bit gutting. And also, Liverpool conceding against Arsenal. If that hadn't happened, I would have got a lot more. Sterling was my captain, so a nice 16 points there. And obviously, I have Salah, got 15. And Pookie, who I brought in, one of my transfers in, got 11. And my other transfer in, Martial, got 5. So I think... both of those transfers were good. I took out Perez for Martial. I think Perez got nothing. I think he got 2. And obviously Wilson, I think Wilson got another assist. So he got 5. So overall, good transfers in. And pretty happy to get above the average. I jumped up a few hundred thousand places. I'm currently at 117,765, which after 3 weeks, considering, as you briefly touched on, the lack of clean sheets... so far,
absolutely.
I'm pretty happy with. Let's talk briefly about background Ben.
Yeah, let's do it. We don't want to feed his ego anymore. He's doing very well at fantasy football.
He's doing extremely well. He's just passed me his phone because obviously you're in London and I'm with Ben in Liverpool. So he got 76. Sterling captain, Mason Mount he brought in. Who got 8. He got an assist from Alexander-Arnold. Heaton with 6. McGinn with 6. Pookie with 11. Salah with 15. De Bruyne with 5. He's absolutely smashing it. He's 560th overall.
That is insane.
He could win the whole thing. Insane. He could win the whole thing.
Well, we're meant to be the experts on this, right? And Ben's just sat there in the background taking on all of our brilliant advice and lapping up the points.
Exactly.
Can we say that? That's what we're going to go with. That's the excuse.
I mean, I've got to give it to him. His two transfers so far this season have been Pookie in before his hat trick and Mount in before this weekend. And obviously Mount got another goal. And I think he got a bonus. Yeah, 1 point bonus as well. He's ahead of the curve at the moment, which is what you have to be in FPL. Yeah, you have to catch these players before they fire. Because when they do fire, everyone brings them in, like I did with Pookie. Obviously, it made a nice difference for me having Pookie. But if I'd have got him in the week before like Ben, I'd be way up the rankings. So he's doing really well.
Yeah,
we've all started well. I'm really happy with all three of our ranks, particularly Ben's, of course. And we're on course for a good season, boys, I think. So yeah, Ben, any predictions for this week? Who do you think's going to fire? What are your predictions for this week?
My prediction Mystic is Ben. Chelsea, get him in. Arsenal, Tottenham, going to be a dud.
Okay, you heard it here first. He thinks Chelsea are going to smash Sheffield United, and he thinks Spurs and Arsenal is going to be a dud. What, a 0-0, 1-0, something like that?
0-0, 1-1.
Okay.
Any names, any players you think we should draft in at all, or just...
If you've got Kane, get rid of him for the whole season. Tottenham's top scorer is going to be Lucas Moura.
Wow. Okay. That is such a shout.
I feel like we have a statement every week on this podcast, and I think that's this week's one. So
yeah,
let's make
a
list of these.
You know, a lot of the stuff we're saying is happening. So should we start with double Liverpool defence, Rich?
Yes. So, I mean, this was our whole thing over pre-season, wasn't it? I mean, pretty much everybody, not just us, was talking about your premium defenders and spending big on your back line this season. And it all went to pot, really, on week one for me, because I doubled up at the back with the goalkeeper. So I had Alisson and Alexander-Arnold. I think you had Van Dijk and Alexander-Arnold, wasn't it, you had?
Yep, still got them.
Yeah, you've still got them in there. Well, obviously, Alisson got injured in the first half of the first game of the season for Liverpool, so he had to be dropped for me. And Edison's not really delivered too much, but I feel like it's probably going to help me out in the long run with the upcoming fixtures that Manchester City have got, which we discussed just before the podcast. But I think if you could have one of the Liverpool back line, it would probably be Alexander-Arnold. Don't know if you'd agree going forward.
I think if you're only picking one, yeah, a TAA is probably the best. If you're on Robertson, I would stick with him. He will get points. I mean, for some reason, I know they mentioned it on Match Today as well, for some reason, Unai Emery set Arsenal up in a diamond formation, allowing Alexander-Arnold and Robertson so much space. They got 18 crosses in open play between them. TAA and Robbo. The points will come for Robbo. I wouldn't be coming off him. I'm going to stick with double Liverpool defence at the moment. And that's because I think if I'm looking at my team, there's more pressing issues. And I think the clean sheets will come, but I don't think they're going to get as many this season as last season.
Well, we spoke about it last week, didn't we? Like,
yeah.
For me, it's all about like the mentality of having that great goalkeeper behind you.
Yep.
And we saw, didn't we, Adrian? Like, he's just so wobbly. His kicking's poor. His judgment's poor. It's nowhere near the level of what Alisson brings. And I just think that affects the whole backline's like mentality, really.
Yeah, and he was dodgy again, wasn't he? That he made a mistake early on, and Aubameyang could have scored. And then I think Pepe was... He made a good save from Pepe, who looks good, actually.
Keep
an eye on him. The only thing with Pepe is there's also Kevin De Bruyne, who is the same price, who looks so much better than anybody in that price bracket at the moment.
Yeah, he's flying at the moment.
But definitely keep an eye on Pepe. I think Arsenal's fixtures turn quite soon as well. So keep an eye on him. But, I mean, God, avoid their defence at all costs. I mean, David Luiz, we said it before.
What was he doing for that third goal?
We could have all predicted this, couldn't we? Like we said, what a terrible signing. He can't defend. And he's lost them that game. He conceded the penalty and he was at fault for the Salah goal. So,
The penalty, there was just nothing to it as well, because Salah was just running away towards the corner flag or away from the goal anyway. And it was so obvious as well.
I mean, just looking at Arsenal's fixtures from game week 8 to game week 16, they don't play any of the top six. So I'll certainly be interested in them they've got Spurs at home next, then Watford away, then Villa at home, then United away. So I think you're okay not being on one of the Arsenal players up until then.
Yeah.
But like I said, they hadn't impressed me that much in the first two games of the season, and it was back to how they were last season, really. I think they were better than they were last season against Liverpool, but they were still outplayed. Like I say, they're defending very poor indeed. So yeah, the Liverpool defence, I would say I'm sticking with double Liverpool defence for now. If I was on a wild card, I'd be tempted to take one of them out now, because they are conceding more chances.
Okay.
What do we think about City assets for their run of fixtures?
Yeah, well, they've got a pretty easy run in for the next month or so, really. They've got Brighton this weekend, which, you know, it could be double figures, that leg. It could be a cricket score. So I think, yeah, the attacking defensive options for Manchester City. You've already got Zinchenko on your side, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'd be a good choice. I've got Walker in mine as well. It's just the centre-back issues for Manchester City, because we've seen over the last couple of seasons that Pep, I don't think he knows what his first-choice centre-back partnership is, whether Otamendi starts, Stones starts. The one who does seem to start more often than not is Laporte, but it's just who's going to play alongside him. But I think with the fixtures that they've got coming up, they've got Norwich after Brighton, Watford, who look to me like the worst team in the Premier League. Javi Gracia is going to be the first manager to get sacked for me. And then it does get a little bit harder with Everton and Wolves. But in all honesty, they don't play a big team until they go to Anfield on the 9th of November. So there's 8 games in there to bring in a Manchester City defender. So I feel like that would probably be a smart move.
I think you definitely should have one. Zinchenko's, although he hasn't got many points on the board yet, he was putting in a lot of nice crosses against Bournemouth. I don't think attacking returns are too far away for him. Again, though, the only worry is Ben Mendy might come back, but he's not on the bench yet. So I think you're safe with Zinchenko for a while, but I wouldn't be bringing him in just in case Cancelo starts there or Mendy comes back. You're right. That's the problem is, I mean, if you've got double City defence, it should be Edison and one other. Because, yeah, like you say, the only defender that is almost guaranteed to start is Laporte, because Walker's under threat now from Cancelo. My ideal plan is to get another City attacker in for that run of fixtures. It will more than likely be KDB. He looked good again. He should have scored. It was a bit of a lucky assist, actually, for Aguero. He kind of missed
it.
a shot,
wasn't it?
But again, he looks like the best player in the Premier League. It'll be either him or Aguero. Aguero looks like an option again, doesn't he? Scored 2.
Yeah, he does, yeah. And we were saying as well, Jesus, he could be on the treatment table for a little while and miss him for a couple of weeks. So Aguero's surely going to be starting, because I don't know who else he's going to start ahead of Aguero if he's thinking of rotation, Pep.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to attackers. I think most of the, let's say, more experienced FPL players this year started with mid-price to low-budget options up front. And we all said that going big at the back was going to be the way to go. Obviously, we've discussed the lack of clean sheets so far from City and Liverpool and United and Chelsea and all those top teams not keeping clean sheets. There seems to be lots of options up front now. Who are you looking at, Rich? Who have you got actually up front at the moment, and who are you looking at?
Well, from game week 1, I brought in Aubameyang, because I opted for Aubameyang over Sterling. Doesn't seem like the smartest of choices so far, but you know, he's got a couple of goals to his name. And then I've just got Young, Greenwood and Parrott at United and Spurs, just sitting on my bench. They've been playing with 5 in midfield. But yeah, who have you got up front? You started with 2 Bournemouth strikers, wasn't it, if I remember correctly, at the start of the season? Is that still the case?
Started with Wilson and King and then brought in Pookie last week. So I've got Pookie, King and Greenwood up front at the moment.
That's it. Well, I was just looking at the 3 top scoring strikers on the game right now. So Aguero, yeah, he's in there. I think he's been in there probably the last 10 years. And then on 25 points, Ashley Barnes. And 35, your man from Finland, Pookie. Ben's background, Ben's special signing out of nowhere, which is still the most remarkable signing, bringing him, and he bangs in a hat trick. That might be one of the best predictions I think I've ever heard on fantasy football. So fair play, background Ben. But yeah, why are you thinking maybe double Pukki and Barnes up front? Could that be?
I think at the moment,
stacking line going?
Yeah, I think at the moment they look to be the two best forwards at that price range. The thing with Barnes, I mean, I like to look at the quality of the goals that strikers score, and it was a great finish for his goal, but it was outside the box, and I think you know, 8 or 9 times out of 10 a shot like that doesn't go in. So then I like to look at if he's had any more chances in the game, and he did. He had another chance, which was a lot better chance, that he missed. So because the worry with Barnes, I think, is that he perhaps won't score more than one a game. He's got perhaps a lower ceiling.
Yeah.
And Burnley, you know, historically aren't the best at going forward. They're not going to... It's rare that they're going to score 3 or 4, isn't it?
Yeah, last season they played more long balls forward than anybody else in the Premier League. They just go direct.
Yeah, which is why I think Nick Pope's probably going to get at least one assist this year, which would be nice.
Not a bad show.
I, at the moment, I'm more interested in Haller from West Ham.
The reason
being, I think he's got a higher ceiling. He looks like he's going to score goals. He's a poacher. Both of his goals were close range. I mean, the second one was great improvisation and overhead kick.
He nearly scored a scorpion kick as well in the first half. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Imagine that winning. I've been talking about that for days.
Yeah, exactly. And behind him, he's got the likes of Yarmolenko, Anderson, Lanzini. He's got Antonio to come in there as well.
Yeah.
I think as an attacking unit, West Ham look better than Burnley. Haller is more than Barnes. I think he's 7.4. What about
Barnes? 6.6. Well, just sticking on Haller. He looks a good striker. The problem is, though, he plays for West Ham. Just West Ham are just the most, for me, average mid-table side. They'll finish 10th this season, pretty much guarantee that for you. They just blow hot and cold all the time, and I think bringing in a West Ham striker is just, I don't know, I just don't think he's going to be consistent enough.
So who do you think's a better option at his price point, though?
Tammy Abraham. He's looked, I mean, you're talking about like the quality of goals that Barnes scored for Burnley. Did you see the two goals that Abraham scored for Chelsea? The first one where the cross came in and he just hit it perfectly on the volley into the back of the net.
It was a great
goal. And then the next one, he took it away from two defenders and rattled it into the bottom corner. Like, for a lad who smashed it in the Championship for, I think it was Bristol City, was it 3 years ago, something like that? Then came into the Premier League, didn't quite cut it. And last year we saw him do well for Villa. He seems like he's learned from his mistakes the first time round in the Premier League so far. The proof is in the pudding there with them two goals. So for a 0.3 less, I think I'd probably have Abraham ahead of Haller.
Okay. The problem with Abraham, though, I think is the rotation risk. I think Lampard could easily bring in Giroud for the next game. It depends on, like, tactic-wise, who's going to... Because they're different players. You know, Giroud's going to hold up the ball and perhaps provide more opportunities for the midfielders. So I'd just worry that Abraham might get rotated. The last thing you want is to bring a striker in and then him to be on the bench. So I think Haller, for me, is going to be playing 90 minutes most weeks, or he's definitely going to start most weeks.
Yeah,
West Ham's fixtures look good as well. They've got Norwich, then Villa, then United at home, then they've got Bournemouth, Palace, Everton, Sheffield United, Newcastle and Burnley. They look pretty tasty to me. What about Aguero and Kane, the premiums? What are your thoughts on them? Obviously, you've got Aubameyang as well. Are you thinking about maybe switching to Aguero or Kane for the next few weeks?
I might bring in Aguero just because of what we talked about on City's easier fixtures. However, I've already got 3 City players in my lineup with Edison, Walker and De Bruyne, so I'm going to have to sacrifice one of them, and I don't really want to sacrifice one of them, so Aguero might have to sit out. Kane, wasn't attracted to him before the start of the season. Game week 4, still not attracted to him in any way whatsoever, and like you said, and background Ben's prediction, I think it's going to be a bit of a damp squib in the North London Derby this weekend. So, yeah, I'm not really excited by any of them.
Yeah, anyone else? What about Rashford? Rashford, he looks lively, but...
Missed a penalty, didn't he, last weekend?
Missed a pen. He doesn't normally miss them, and he was very unlucky with that penalty.
Yeah, I feel like they're playing Southampton this weekend, so I feel like that's a good team for them to bounce back against. Who, you know, Southampton are probably going to be down there struggling this season, so I feel like they're probably the ideal side for Manchester United to come up against. So yeah, Rashford can be one to consider for this weekend. In all honesty, I'm really not sure about transfers. Abraham probably the one who stands out for me more than anybody else, but yeah, tough week really picking a striker who's going to score for me this weekend.
And when is Marco Silva going to start, Moyes Keane?
It's going to be this weekend.
There's another example of a good call. You said against Villa, you said it will be low scoring. We'll probably lose 1 or 2 nil. You were right. God, they were so frustrating to watch, Everton.
Yeah, it was so annoying. I mean, I think it was one of them where I wasn't confident to begin with. I mean, I was saying like, yeah, there's going to be like low scoring, maybe like a 1-1, something like that. But that was more optimistic than anything because Everton are just terrible away from home. We're so much better at Goodison, where I think we've kept 6 clean sheets in the Premier League on the bounce, something like that. And we're coming up against Wolves, who've not been in the best form. It's the thing with Everton, when all things point towards an Everton win, they usually lose. So you can could go either way. But yeah, Moise Keane's going to start this weekend against Wolves. Calvert-Lewin, just he's not up to standard. And you've got this young lad signed from Juventus for nearly 30 million quid, just sat on the bench. He looks decent. And Iwobi looked good as well when he came on, actually.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, he hit the post. And Walcott had a bad miss from a Moise Keane pass as well. They had one shot on target the whole game, Everton. Which is,
I think they had one pass on target as well. It was so bad. Couldn't complete a pass.
It's really worrying. I think that's the call that I made at the start of the season, which is so badly wrong. I thought Everton would have a good start, which is why I put Siggy and Dean in, and Siggy's still in my team, stinking out my midfield at the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm unsure what to do with him as well. I mean, you've got two free transfers, haven't you? This week.
Yeah, he's going to get the chop, I think, Sigurdsson. I think Tielemans at Leicester is probably going to be the other one. But yeah, I guess we'll talk transfers in a minute.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's talk VAR briefly, Rich. What did you think about some of the decisions this week?
Yeah, some very interesting ones. I mean, there was one for me that they didn't look at. It was in the... what game was it in where there was the guy threw like one-on-one at the back and he was brought down and only got a yellow card? Was it the United game?
I think that was Cahill on Martial, yeah.
That was it, yeah. And he was chopped down. Martial obviously going to get away from Gary Cahill. And they didn't go to VAR to check for a red card. And it was a clear goal scoring opportunity because he was in one-on-one at the edge of the penalty area. And that was only one of several bizarre VAR decisions in that game. I mean, you watched the whole match. You must have had an opinion on each of them.
Yeah, it was just bizarre. I mean, I think in one of the games, I think it was in the Chelsea game, Abraham was fouled in the build-up to the Norwich goal, and they said because it was too far back from play or something, they didn't check it. I mean, there's just been so many bizarre decisions. City should have had a penalty in their game. I think David Silva was like, his foot was stood on and they looked at it and still didn't give it. United could have had 3 penalties. I just think, like, I don't know what is going on, whether it's teething problems or what, because we've said, haven't we, previously, we're like, well, at least with VAR, the decisions are going to be right, and the decisions are wrong.
Yeah, I know. There was a weird one in the Liverpool game as well, where it was like a ball was whipped in from a cross, and the referee stopped playing and said, hang on, we're just checking for a red card.
Yeah.
And everyone was just like, what? Like, what was the foul? And then the commentators had no idea. The players had no idea. And then there was no red card because nothing had happened. So I don't know what on earth had been spotted by one of the officials on the field of play.
Yeah, they need to clarify this clear and obvious thing because it's so... it seems so complicated with the decisions that they're making. You know, I mean, I think in like the first or second week, they were giving like bizarre handballs in the box. And
yeah, they were. Yeah.
And then now they're not giving clear fouls for penalties. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, very frustrating because, you know, like when we've said before, I know it's gone against City, boo-hoo City. It's gone against them a few times in the Spurs matches. But at least when you look at that, you go, well, the decision was correct.
Yeah, exactly.
But now they're not even making the correct decision. So I don't know what is going on there.
Well, I was trying to think back like to the World Cup last year. And I'm pretty sure, I can't remember them getting a VAR decision wrong or not a major decision wrong. Whereas in the Premier League this season, I don't know, because there's more matches,
they just seem to be getting more wrong despite having so many sets of eyes looking over these videos.
Do you think it's partly to do with the fact that in the World Cup and in other games, they've had the screen that the referee can go and look at the replay, but in the Premier League, they're not doing that, are they?
Oh, I don't know. Have they got the screen at the side? I think they have got the screen at the side.
No, well, even if they have, they don't stop the play and say to the ref, go and have a look yourself.
Yeah.
They make the decision if it's a clear and obvious error. So whether they're just like trying not to stamp on the referee's egos too much, I don't know, but it needs to be sorted out because, again, it's just bad decisions being made, particularly this week. I've noticed it and thought, well, if they're not going to get it right, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's something to do with the rules not being aligned with this modern age of VAR. I think they just need to update the rules, particularly the handball rules,
yeah,
to just align it with the modern day game, really.
Yeah, definitely.
RIP drop balls. All right, Luke, do you want to see this week's triple captain stat pack question?
I certainly do.
Cool. Actually, you know what? Before we get into that, do you want the answer to last week's one?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah. So the question was last week, Theo Walcott has been subbed 125 times in his career, the eighth most in Premier League history, along with David Silva, Emil Heskey, and which ex-Manchester United player? What did you guess last week? I think you said Sheringham, didn't you?
That was incorrect. Sheringham, and Ben guessed Giggs, I think.
Yeah.
Can I take another stab right now, actually?
Go on, take a punt.
Nicky Butt.
Oof, incorrect. Good ballpark, though. Good ballpark. Okay. Ben, do you want one?
No.
No.
Okay. Good guess. Paul Scholes.
Oh. I would never have guessed that.
Yeah, Paul Scholes. There you go. You learned something today.
As he got older, yeah, he perhaps got dragged off more than I remember. Good stuff.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
What's this week's question?
So this week's question is all about penalties. So you may have seen in West Ham's win over Watford, Mark Noble scored his 25th Premier League penalty at the weekend. Only three Premier League players have scored more from the spot. Who are they? And I'll give you a hint. They were all England internationals.
Ooh. Frank Lampard.
That's one is correct.
They were all. And how many more is there? Two more?
Two more, yeah.
Shearer.
Correct.
Yeah, Shearer. Great.
Oh, so close.
Oh my God, we might get all three. Gerrard.
Correct. Yes. Look at that. Three from three.
That is fantastic work from us. I mean, you gave a good clue with the England internationals.
Yeah, I did, to be fair. But I mean, look at that company. Alan Shearer, great player. Lampard, great goal scorer. Gerrard, great captain. And Mark Noble.
Yeah. Nice, great question. Great question.
So there you go. So I guess we don't have to put that one on Twitter. I'll come up with a harder one next week. Okay, so this is the part of the podcast where we listen back to your voice notes, but for some reason this week we haven't received any voice notes. Who knows, because we put out the podcast too late last week, or, you know, bank holiday people have been too hungover out on the bevs. Who knows?
We're early days.
Yeah, exactly.
Send them in.
Yeah, send them in. Triplecaptain@soundrebel.co.uk if you want to do that, or if you can't bother recording a voice note, just tweet us @triplecaptain3, probably the best way to do it. So we had a bit of a look over Twitter, didn't we, to try and find some questions that are being asked in the FPL community. So should we have a look through a few of these?
Yeah.
@EricDFreeman, he's asking the question, United fans, if Martial is out this weekend, who is most likely to replace him?
Well, I am a United fan. I think most likely is Juan Mata. I'd love to say Greenwood, and I hope Greenwood starts because Lingard's been terrible and hasn't really provided anything going forward for United for a long, long time. But I think it could be Juan Mata Rashford will start up front, and then I'd imagine it would be Mata, Lingard, and James. But I hope it's Greenwood.
Well, he's been bringing Greenwood on, hasn't he? So he's been giving him a chance. I know he's been bringing on Mata as well, but they're such different footballers, aren't they, in terms of their like style?
Yeah,
really.
I mean, really what I think he should do is drop Lingard, play Mata, and play Greenwood as well. So then you've got a front four of Mata, Greenwood, James, and Rashford. But yeah, I won't be starting Greenwood in the hope that he starts, just in case he comes on and gets 1 point. But I need to think about Martial if he's not going to play.
So if Martial is out and he's in your team, if you're going to replace him, don't replace him with the United player is the best advice we can give, surely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at my team now to see what I would do if Martial's out. It depends. If he's only out for the one game, I'll probably keep him and maybe start Dendonka away at Everton. But then my team doesn't look great for the weekend.
Yeah.
So I need to make a decision there.
Okay, so we have a look at another question that's been doing the rounds on Twitter.
So at FPL underscore Centralen says, am I the only one thinking everyone should strive to get Pukki and Barnes as their forward pairing? For me, all these talks of Haller and Aguero seems a bit unnecessary. So much value in midfield, Sterling, Salah, KDB, etc. Why spend more than you have to in attack?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're the two top scorers, aren't they, points-wise, in the Premier League this season, Pukki and Barnes. But, I mean, we covered them earlier on, didn't we, really, talking about attackers. I'm still unconvinced by Pukki. Like you say, Barnes doesn't look like he's going to bang in two or three most weeks. But I suppose for value, yeah.
I really like Ashley Barnes, but I'm not convinced he can keep up his goal-scoring run, whereas I think Pukki's the better option. And as I said before, I'm most interested in Haller for West Ham's fixtures. At the moment, I'm going to hold Josh King. Bournemouth haven't got bad fixtures. They've got Leicester, Everton, Southampton, West Ham, Arsenal, Norwich, Watford in their next six. And I think King will get a couple of goals in those fixtures. He's on penalties. I'm quite happy to hold him at the moment. And if you've only got Wilson as well, I'd be inclined to hold Wilson because he's got three assists so far. There's only a matter of time before he'll score goals for Bournemouth. So I wouldn't write them off at the moment. So yeah, I think that about answers that, doesn't it? But yeah, I'm not going to bring in Aguero or Kane at the moment because, like FPL Central End says, there's a lot of value in midfield at the moment that can cover those premium strikers. So yeah, we'll see what happens there.
And then I suppose our third question comes from Background Ben.
Go for it, Background Ben.
So, I've seen the FPL Prince tweet about an article from the Times, Klopp saying he's ready to start rotating Liverpool players. I've got both Alexander-Arnold and Van Dijk at the back, and Salah. My question to you guys is, who are the most likely Liverpool players to be rotated this season? I know we talked about double Liverpool defence earlier, but
yeah.
Who do you take out, Van Dijk or Trent?
Yeah, I think Gomez is more likely to come in than anybody else, maybe for Liverpool, which we'll probably see Alexander-Arnold get dropped. That was the case last year, for sure, anyway. So that would probably be my guess, that he's the man who would come in for Alexander-Arnold. I can't see Robertson getting displaced.
Yeah, what we've got to remember is Klopp might be talking about, like you say, he might be talking about Matip. He could be talking about Wijnaldum, Henderson, Keita. He's got a lot of options in midfield, hasn't he? He's got Oxlade-Chamberlain there to come in. I think Salah, Firmino and Mane are pretty safe. I mean, Origi might come in if one of them is really tired. I'd be shocked if he dropped Salah or Mane. He won't drop Robertson because they haven't really got another option at left back. TAA could be rotated potentially, but I can't see it this early on.
Yeah. I think in terms of affecting your points, that's the one that you've got to look out for. Because I think the Liverpool midfield of like Henderson, Fabinho, Keita, Wijnaldum, like, I don't think many people really have them in their fantasy teams, do they? They don't really score many goals, get many assists. As we all know, Liverpool's assists come out from their wide players. So, I don't think you really have to worry too much about rotations. But for me, it would just be Alexander-Arnold who'd be the first in line to get changed out of the key players for Liverpool.
Yes, out of the key players, yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, that is the worry. But hopefully it doesn't happen.
Yeah, hopefully. He's an assist king.
Thanks, guys. I love the podcast.
Good. Thanks. What's your prediction for next weekend? Where do you reckon you're going to be? Do you reckon you'll be top 10?
I'm not really making any changes this week, so I think I might drop down a few thousand.
Just a few thousand.
Yeah, still hoping to be in the top 10k by the end of play.
Let's talk about potential transfers. What are you thinking at the moment, Rich?
So I've got two free transfers this week. And I really want to just shore up my midfield. I'm quite happy with my defence as it stands. I've got Sigurdsson and Tielemans sat in my midfield at the moment, who just They're just offering nothing, which is really disappointing. So I don't know who to bring in. Mason Mount is probably top of that list right now to bring in at 6.2. He's gone up a little bit, but still great value for what we've seen from him so far. But he does have the little yellow triangle next to his name. So I'm going to have to wait until the press conferences to see what happens to him.
He's going to be fine, Ben's saying. Yeah.
He's going to be fine.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, he's looked.
Okay. But yeah, the other midfield option, I'm just not sure on who to bring in. So if I got rid of Sigurdsson and I got rid of Tielemans, that leaves me with 14.3 million to spend on my two midfielders, which is quite a good chunk of money.
You've already got De Bruyne, haven't you?
I've already got De Bruyne and Salah.
And you can't can't get to Sterling in two moves, is that right?
No, I can't.
You'd have to do three. I mean, I'd be looking at Mason Mount, James Maddison, and McGinn Iheanacho,
yeah, maybe. That could be a decent shout, actually.
Maddison looked great again. I mean, Leicester's fixtures aren't the best for a few weeks, but Maddison looked great again. Everything goes through him. I'm very interested in him. And yeah, Mason Mount, I think, is a good shout as well. What about captain for this week?
It's hard to see past anybody else other than Mo Salah. Away to Burnley, I think this is just the perfect kind of team for Salah to play against, because Burnley are just going to sit back. Salah's going to trick his way through that defence. If he doesn't get a shot away, he's going to get tripped and he's going to take the penalty himself. So yeah, I'm just going to go with Salah. Again, he's going to have the captain's armband. What about you? Any transfers?
Ideally, I'd like to hold. So then I've got two free for the international break. But I need to make a decision because I've got Martial sat in there. So I need to decide whether to sub him out if he's unfit. I've also got Siggy in there who, again, yeah, like we said, he really doesn't look good, but I think I'll probably give him one more week. There's a reason I got him in at the start of the season. Although he's looked terrible, I hope that Silva plays Moyes Keane. He perhaps plays Iwobi as well. And then suddenly Siggy's got more options around him to pass to. I mean, I'm clutching at straws. Ideally, I'd like to get Siggy out of the team, particularly when there's options there. And the main guy I want to get in is KDB. But if I hold the transfer and then I've got two frees for the international break, that allows me to make some moves, even maybe make three moves and take a minus four and get De Bruyne in my team, particularly because of City's fixtures. Captain will be on Sterling again, pretty sure of that. They've got Brighton at home.
That's a good shout. I'm thinking maybe doing three subs and bringing in Sterling if I can wriggle my team around enough.
If you can take a minus four and get Sterling in, then I'd be inclined to do that. But I suppose having Sterling, Salah and Aubameyang could disturb the balance of your team a little bit. Yeah, have a think on that.
It's a tough one.
I think this week could be the return of defence. I think Liverpool could keep a clean sheet against Burnley. I think Everton could keep a clean sheet at Goodison against Wolves. And I think City will almost certainly keep a clean sheet against Brighton at the Etihad. So watch this space for premium defenders. I think this could be the return of the clean sheet. So I think that about covers it. Get your questions in at @TripleCaptain3. Any thoughts, feedback, advice on the podcast? We're still very early days. It'd be much appreciated. All three of us are pretty happy with our start to the season. And just remember, stay patient. There's a long way to go, and as we've said, it's very tight at the top. A few, you know, 4 or 5 points could be the difference in 100,000 places. So good luck everyone for game week 4.
Quick shout out to Lewis in our fantasy league. Thought he'd played his wild card, accidentally ended up losing 20 points in transfers.
No,
don't worry, mate, I'm sure you'll make it up this week.
And he's actually not doing badly, is he?
I know. He's like mid-table. He's doing okay.
Yeah, he'd be on 194 if he hadn't done that. Oh, that is gutting. That is gutting. So we've just got to catch background Ben.
Yeah, he's the man we're chasing.
Good luck.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.